to the Jesus Reveal podcast. My name is Zinhle Mncube, and we are in day 15. And I'm joined by someone who has, in a sense, become a bit of a Jesus Revealed resident in Pastor Adrian. Pastor A, thank you so much for being here again.
Well, Zinhle, allow me just to thank you. I mean, this journey has been an amazing one. I think everybody that's watching and listening, with all of your guests that have come through, they've learned. We're getting the stuff that we can meditate on. We're seeing Jesus revealed fully on this journey. So thank you very much. It's the third week, and I believe we are going strong.
God has truly been faithful, Pastor Adrian, over these past two or so weeks. And to all the guests, again, I'd like to send a big word of thanks. And look, I have been blessed sitting here as well. And truly give thanks to God for all that he has revealed in revealing his son. And today, Pastor Adrian, we are looking at the transfiguration. And our scriptural references to everyone that's following us is in Matthew chapter 17 from verse 1 to 13. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 9 from verse 2 to 13. And finally, Luke chapter 9 from verse 28 to 36. Pastor A, I think firstly, what do we mean, or what does it mean when we talk about the transfiguration?
I think for all of us, we have to recognize it's one of the most important events on this Jesus revealed journey. It's one of the important events because, in a nutshell, and I think if you take everything together, it speaks of Jesus as the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
Because at this specific event, you have Moses and you have Elijah and Jesus at the same place at the same time. And when we look at it from that point of view, just in a nutshell, in the most basic of our understanding, this is the fulfillment of all scripture. But if we go a little bit deeper to it, if you read out of Matthew 17 and 2 and Mark 9 and 2, the Greek word used there for transfiguration is specifically metamorpho. We understand that word means metamorphosis. So we are seeing a specific change, a change from Jesus himself within his personhood, and a change from him being human to now taking on more of a divine form, also a glorified form. So this word transfiguration in the Latin is transfiguro, which speaks of a substantial change in nature. And here we then see, with that understanding of the Latin, with the understanding of the Greek, we recognize Jesus is changing from one form to another. And with him at that moment in time is this fulfillment yet again of both the law and the prophets. So for you and I, in our understanding, and as Jesus is being revealed to us, we're seeing that Jesus is actually taking his disciples, the three of them, which is Peter, John, and Peter, John, and I think James.
James,
to the mountain. And that's now the Mount of Olives. And that is where he's supposed to now, you know, go for prayer. The Bible speaks of, in all those three different portions of scripture that you mentioned from a scriptural reference, Jesus have just been with people. Now he's breaking away from people.
Sure.
And he's taking his disciples up the mountain for a specific moment of prayer. But more than just prayer, we're seeing change form. We're seeing change in nature. We see him change from being just that human form of Jesus and his human form now to his divine form and his glorified body way before he even goes to the cross, which is foreshadowing what would happen at the cross, which is foreshadowing what would happen on resurrection morning. But the most important aspect of that is in the understanding of that word. Jesus is changing his form.
Sure.
And he is giving his disciples a glimpse of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
in that glimpse, you see two of the most important figures of the Old Testament show up in Moses and in the prophet Elijah.
Wow. And I think then, with, as you were saying, fulfillment of the law and the prophets, with, I guess, Moses representing the person that was a custodian then of the law, and then Elijah, who was a prophet that was taken up or called up. And I think I see then those that sense of significance. And even in that metamorphosis happening then within Jesus, I can't help but just think about John chapter 1 around the light coming into the world and the darkness not containing it as well. And that was, as you were saying, that...
And again, like we said the first time I was here, the first or second time I was here, nothing in Scripture stands on its own.
Yeah.
There is a fulfillment of Old Testament even in the New. Because here we see Peter. When Peter sees these two figures of the Old Testament, he sees Moses and he sees Elijah. And we know Elijah as the chief prophet of the Old Testament, the one that performed many miracles, and Moses being the leader of God's people, taking them out of slavery and moving them into from Egypt into what would then be the promised land, and just falling short of that. Peter hearkens back to that, and Peter then says, maybe we should build tabernacles. Maybe we should build tents. Because as a Jewish believer, Peter would have heard these stories. Peter would have been taught this in the synagogue. Peter would have been taught this by the rabbis. When Moses came from the mountain, when Moses came from Mount Sinai, when Moses came from this place of prayer, and he was with God, the first thing Moses said to them is, now the Lord is calling us to be build a tabernacle, because the Lord wants to be in the midst of his people. Moses, Elijah showing up, again, just affirms who Jesus is. Just affirms the beauty of the fulfillment of Jesus of all of Scripture. Because now as well, Zintlan, for all of our listeners and those that are watching, we see the connection back. Because remember, Moses, the Bible tells us, nobody saw him die. It was between Moses and God. The Bible tells us then that God himself buried Moses. Then you see now Elijah showing up. In Elijah's departure, Elijah was taken. The people saw him being taken by the Lord on a chariot of fire. So the Bible teaches us here that you've got two people that were taken by the Lord himself. And again, the beauty of being at Moses and being Elijah is the fact that Moses is told by God when he's in the mountain, God says to him, you cannot see my form. The same to Elijah. When Elijah is standing on the mountain, the same mountain, and here Jesus is with them on the same mountain. Jesus is with them on the same mountain. So now we see them finally seeing the form of God. Seeing Jesus the Christ. Jesus the second in terms of person of the Trinity. Now they can see who God is. And you have these two coming to witness God in his form. You've got these two coming to affirm who Jesus is. And that's the beauty of the Transfiguration. It's an important event. And the fact that Peter is saying, let's make a tent here. Let's make a tabernacle here. Because surely this is holy. This is a holy moment. This is a righteous moment. These are sacred moments that we are given a glimpse into.
And thank you for that, Pastor. And I'm just looking at even the events then leading up to that. And one of them, and I'm just looking back on the various episodes, it was just centered around as well Peter confessing Jesus as Christ. And then it's no coincidence that in Peter then, upon that confession, sees him as Christ, the Transfiguration then happens. And because now you have almost now a right view of me. You have a view of me as the Messiah. Now, let me show you about how far this can actually go.
So what you're saying is actually true, because now Matthew 16 is where Peter gives the revelation. Matthew 17 is where we are given the first account from the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. So you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke giving you the same account. But what you are saying is important, because now you have Peter given that confession. The Lord is saying to Peter, this doesn't come by flesh and blood alone. So you have not just received this out of your own understanding, but now the Lord is confirming it even further in the next scene for Peter. Because now the Lord is showing him in this great vision of both Moses and this great vision of Elijah showing up. Moses, again, representing the law. Elijah representing the prophetic. Meaning God speaking to his people through the prophet. And Moses representing the law, the righteousness of the law. Moses representing either the righteousness or even the condemnation of the law. Because in many occasions we find that the people could not live up to the power of the law.
That's true.
So now you have these two figures standing right there. And then the third thing happens to again affirm who Jesus is. The third thing happens by the Lord speaking out of the heavens again. Yeah. And his word is saying, the word teaches us, he says, this is my son. He says, listen to him. So now the law is fulfilled in Jesus, which means grace is greater than the law. The prophetic is fulfilled in Jesus. And the Lord is giving us this great contrast between two of the most important figures of the Old Testament and Hebrew tradition. And the Lord is saying, listen to my son. He supersedes the law. He supersedes even what the prophets say. You listen to him. I'm putting my approval on him yet again. We saw the approval at the baptismal waters. Now we see the approval with the Lord saying, you will have to listen to him. He is greater than Moses. He's greater than Elijah. And just to take it a little bit further than that, Zintle, in the little study that I was doing, also the Hebrew tradition teaches them that if Moses and Elijah returns, it is now the end of the age. It means that all of time is now collapsing on itself, so it's now the end of it all. So in their understanding, in our Hebrew traditional understanding, these two figures showing up means the end has come to an end now. The age has come to an end.
Wow.
But here the Lord is saying, this is my son.
Yeah.
He says, you have to now listen to him. Because he supersedes all tradition. I think that's what we've been teaching. That's what we've been seeing about Christ being revealed.
Indeed.
That he supersedes it all.
Yeah.
And he is greater than Moses. If you go to the book of Hebrews, that's what it actually says. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the law.
Yeah.
He's greater than Melchizedek. He's greater than the Levites and the priestly systems of this world. He's greater than the angels.
Yeah.
He's greater than all.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just, I was actually thinking about the book of Hebrews because the writer there, I think their intent was really to position Jesus and exalt him in that, because the first opening within that chapter, he positions Jesus where he says, of old, we used to learn through the prophets and then there was the law, but in this age, and now that Jesus is here, the word of God is revealed through him.
Yes.
And that is a very, very significant thing. And I just want to go back then, Pastor A, to just the significance then, and just if we can zero in on the significance of that moment of the transfiguration. And even you've really been pulling it even to this present time now as well. But let's just maybe take it home around that significant moment of the transfiguration.
And I think, again, with the two of the biggest figures, I mean, if this was a movie, you know, you would have, these are legends showing up. They're making a guest appearance.
Sure.
You know, and these are legends of the faith.
Yeah.
Because even if you go back to Hebrews again, chapter 11, you know, they actually appear in the hall of faith, the hallmark of the legends of faith.
Yes.
So now you have two of the most, again, important figures. And I want to stress that to our listeners and to those watching us. These are two of the most important figures of the Old Testament, representing the significance of this, Zintle, representing the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant built on law. The Old Covenant built on works that goes attached to law. And here you have Jesus in the center of it all. And the voice of the Lord again affirming that he is his son. And now you have this understanding for each and every one of us. The law and the old covenant is being closed out. The old covenant is being phased out. Here you see the power of who Jesus is and what he is to be and to do for us even today, coming into full view. That he transcends the covenant of the old, the covenant of sacrifice, the covenant of offerings. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Indeed. He is the ultimate offering given for us. Whereas man had to follow certain laws, either being righteous to it or being condemned by it. Now by him coming and taking our sins on himself and taking our sins to the cross and being that sacrificial lamb for us, we are now ushered into the new covenant. We are now ushered into a covenant that is not based on works, that is not based on the law, but based on grace. Freely accepting him, freely walking in him, knowing that he makes it all the more possible for us to be righteous before God. Not because of anything that we have to do, but everything that he has done and everything that he continues to do in and through us. And that is the beauty of it. That is the beauty and the significance of it all. Yes, the law and the prophets have been fulfilled, but everything in Christ Jesus is fulfilled for our salvation, our redemption, our righteousness, making us righteous before the Lord, justifying us before the Lord, and that we need no intermediary but him and his work, the finished work of the cross in our lives.
Amen, Pastor A. And thank you so much for just bringing it home in that fashion. And to those that are listening and have been listening and watching this, I just pray that this has been a blessing to you in just revealing, I guess, another layer of Jesus. And in this very significant moment around the transfiguration and the importance of seeing the law and the prophets coming towards Jesus, and Jesus then being then almost that age-defying moment of history in our lives. And God bless you all, and keep on liking us, keep on subscribing if you haven't subscribed, keep sharing as well. And I pray that this podcast, as we are in day 15, becomes a blessing. Continue to walk this journey, and may Jesus be revealed in your life evermore.